DOS. 4 in UE. 4 DOS. 4 in UE.
UE to me.
4 in UE, mobile.
4 in UE, KA5WLL.
KL4 in UE. Hey, Leroy, how are you today, bud?
I'm doing good, Chad. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Down here on Main Street Pickens, trying to get back to Campobello. It's not going too good.
Today, while I go about your bears, I wouldn't mind seeing those photos either.
All right. Address up on QRZ.
It is. My call sign at bellsouth.net.
All right, I'll send you a copy of them too. They're quite the family.
You had one that had 4 cubs. That is kind of rare. I wonder if maybe she adopted one or something along the way.
They're all about the same size. Or maybe there was an additional mama bear close by and I just didn't get her in the shot. I don't know. But I have never seen that. The most I've seen is 3. But 4 just sounds a little bit, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that.
I guess it's possible, but yeah, I've never really seen that happen before either. But heard you in here talking, so I'd give you a shout out.
You doing well? Everything good your way?
Yes, sir. Everything's good here. I was supposed to drive a bus today for release time for Berea Middle, but they canceled the classes that they were going to do today, so I'm off today.
Well, I came up here at Deer Camp, got my tower, and got my 220 machine, so or 220 radio, so trying to head it on back to the house.
Okay, well, I'll let you go, let you motor on down the road. We'll talk to you later in 7-3 for now. KA5WLL clear.
Maybe mobile, and I'll shoot you those pictures, Leroy, as soon as I get home.
Roger that. No rush. Talk to you later.
NUE, KF4 NXY. Hey, Chad, how you doing?
It's KO4 NUE. Hey, Dave, how are you today, sir? You doing all right down there in Possum Kingdom?
Yes, sir, just looking out my back window, kind of waiting on a deer to walk by. they subject to do that out here.
I used to hunt a lot. Deer hunt and hog hunt and just, you know, anything to do on hunting. And then I did 2 tours in Iraq, and I don't care nothing about hunting anymore. I just can't do it, but I'll set up a bunch of game cameras. I like to watch them, you know, see what they're doing, and like to know what's in my area, you know. You'd be amazed what you can catch on a game cam. I mean, I get some pretty amazing shots.
You might can provide me a little information. I've noticed something's been pawing at the ground somewhat, and I don't know, maybe if somebody that knows about animals looked at it, they could tell me if it was a deer or a boar hog or what, but I don't know, but it is kind of a curiosity for me.
So if it's a hog, they're going to stick that snout up underneath the root line, and they're going to roll that dirt back. It'll be just like a rolled-up fruit loop, fruit roll-up from the roots under. I mean, it'll be pretty definitive. If it's a squirrel or something, there'll be a hole in it where they've tried to put a acorn or nut, some kind of nut in the ground. And turkeys typically will scratch, but they usually usually don't get below the root line. So your bigger animals are the ones that get through the root line. So take a look at it and see if, you know, if it's on top of the roots or below the roots.
Didn't really notice, but I was, you know, like I say, I don't know anything much about animals, but I was kind of maybe suspecting it was, you know, it was a wild pig or a deer.
Well, how's Miss Marie doing? Everything all right y'all's way?
Pretty good. She's kind of got, you know, I ain't really broadcast it, but she's got, you know, kind of an AFib heart thing going on, so, you know, she's trying to get a little bit more healthy. She goes to the Y 3 times a week with a friend of hers, and they work out in the pool, and she rides a exercise bike every night, does about 10 miles a night on it, so, and she's seeing a specialist, so she's getting all that under control, and I've got a few health issues, but nothing real serious, so we kicking right along pretty good.
Well, good deal. That's good. I've been trying to get a little bit healthy, too. Been doing pretty good at it. We usually walk about 2 miles a night up and down the driveway. And we do pretty good. I don't like it. I'm just going to say that right up front. I don't like it. But, you know, you do what you got to do.
Well, have you been having any long-term side effects from the COVID?
I have noticed that I don't breathe as easily as I used to. It's kind of, sort of noticeable. It's not even really nagging. It's just, I don't know, it's just different, David. I don't know, but other than that, all in all, I'm going to say probably around 4 to 6 weeks, more like 6, I'd say, before all the brain fog went away. I had about 3 weeks of that where I just couldn't think, couldn't focus on anything, couldn't find nothing. I mean, it's just the strangest thing.
It's some serious stuff. My brother went into the hospital with it for a couple weeks, and he didn't make it home. He passed away New Year's Eve. So, you know, it can really put a hurting on people.
For NUE, you're right. We lost 3 family members, matriarchs too, by the way, before the vaccine got here. Two of them, we dropped them off at, family dropped them off at the hospital, and, you know, back then they wouldn't let you back there. You couldn't even go back to visit. So, Danny, he passed away back there by himself. And Donnie, same way. He was my age. Actually 1 year older. I'm 50. So, and then David, he passed away at home. But, you know, you're right. There ain't nothing to mess with, but.
Well, I'm glad you're doing better. And, did your wife catch it, or is she doing okay?
She never tested, but there was no doubt. I mean, we didn't do a test or anything on her, but there was no doubt. I mean, same symptoms, 4 to 6 weeks, and just misery. I don't know any other way to describe it, but just misery. And I'm just, you know, I'm just glad it's over.
Well, I went and got vaccinated and got the boosters and all that. And I've heard a lot of pros and cons about the vaccine, but I figured at my age, my health, it was probably a better idea to go ahead and get it done. But, you know, there's you know, different viewpoints on that. So it's, I think it should be a personal choice. I never was in favor of all these mandates where if you didn't get the shot, we're going to fire you. I didn't think that was right, but, you know.
Well, I went to the VA. They did a pretty good job of keeping, you know, all the boosters. I've had a total of 3 so far, but you know, that didn't prevent you from getting it or anything. But I am up to date, and I kind of stay up to date on things like that. They had a drive-through up there in at the VA hospital in North Carolina when it was at its height, and you just drive-through. You know, they stick the swab up your nose, and then you go get in another line, and then, you know, stick you in the arm, and give you a little card. So I, you know, been through all that, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I hate to cut it short, but I'm sitting in the room that's the same room that's got my wife's bird, and I can tell he's fixing to start making some of his sounds, and that's not good background for radio. So you have a good afternoon. I've enjoyed talking to you, and hopefully if you're going to be at the club meeting, I'll get to meet you, you know. We'll see what each other looks like a little bit. But you have a good afternoon, Chad, and I'll talk to you later. KF4NXY clear.
XY, KO4NUE, you too, Dave. You be careful, bud, and nice talking to you. That's KO4NUE, mobile.
QE.
RR, KO4NUE. Go ahead, Robert. How are you today, bud?
I gotta ask you a question. The top of my 2-meter mobile, my Nagoya, disengaged itself, basically the set screw. Apparently, I must have stripped it out. I hit a bump and it's gone. So the base of the antenna is there. My question is, looking for just a short, I'm not going to replace the whole thing. It's $60 for just the shaft. Will welding rod work?
Just 2-meter.
Right, and I need to just put it in the top of the coil. I've got an extra set of identical set screws and a little Allen wrench and everything. I need just something to cut to put in there, and it's thicker. It's. I'll have to go around and measure it exactly, but I don't think Nagoya sells just that part. And I found out that's a prone problem with that antenna. It's a 320A tri-band from Nagoya.
The element that goes in, is it tri-band? Or does it have like a coil at the base or what?
Coil in the middle, and that's where this one goes in at.
Okay, so you've lost both pieces or just the top piece?
Oh, just the top piece.
So, yeah, that's what I'd do is if you got a SWR meter on the radio or, you know, SWR, whatever, just trim it to what you need to. Just keep in mind, though, that's usually spring stock, so when you hit a limb or something with it, it'll spring back and won't bend. If you, you know, put a piece of what you need is a heliarc, get you a heliarc rod, I'd run by the local welding shop and see if they've got a busted pack. Get the diameter you need and go from there. But it's, you know, just keep in mind that's not spring welding rods. Heliarc rod's not going to be spring steel, so when you twack something with it, it's going to bend.
Roger that. Next question, how about solid copper? It may be big enough to just put a short piece of number six, ground wire.
Again, this is what you're going to run into is that's pretty soft to get up to, you know, 45, 50 miles an hour. I'm going to say it's going to put a bend in it. I'll look around the shop. I think I got some hardened TIG rods laying around there somewhere, and see if I can figure out what the, you know, how to get it to you. Let me look and see. You wouldn't happen to know the diameter, would you?
I got to get my little measuring tool out there and figure it out. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna get it down here. Like I said, I put this other stick on the mount, and I'd use the rod out of it, but it's too small. And that's probably the reason it's not as good an antenna. It's about half the diameter of what I had. It's just a little old. I mean, it'll take a good whack, but it's just not as good an antenna. And unfortunately, it won't fit the coil at the top. So I just go around that route. I had another one, a little old 800 megahertz or some kind of goofy antenna. And it was too thin, too. So I'll check around. I just wondered if the metal Heliarc had the right, I don't know what you'd say, if the ohmage would be off, the conductivity, whichever. If it would, in other words, it'd be up there, but it wouldn't radiate.
It'll radiate. Only thing is, like I said, first time you hit a limb with it, you got to, permanent bend in it. That's gonna be aggravating. It's not
too high. I mean, the total thing is sitting on the trunk. So you got 2 feet that's covered by the roof of the car from the back glass up. So there ain't but maybe 15 inches, if that much, sticking up. And I usually don't go under bushes too much. You know, it had to be a pretty low hanging limb for me to whack it. So this one just bounced out. I didn't hit anything with it. You can look at my car and tell it ain't been through the car wash either. So nothing like that. I remember I had a big whip on the back of my 1200, little Datsun 1200 back in the day, and I just forgot about it. And I went through a car wash, and it got caught in the rollers and actually jammed the machine and temporarily and started to pick the back of the car up.
This is KO4NUE with KD4SRR. So, I thought it was on truck, Robert. If it's on the back of the trunk lid, you'll be just fine. A Heliarc rod. I wouldn't use aluminum. That's gonna be too soft. But run by the welder supply house if you can unscrew the mount or unscrew the antenna. Just take it in there and ask them if they got an open pack, which they usually do. And you get the size you want, drop it right in there and clip that joker to the size you want, and I'd say you'd be good to go.
Roger that. Well, I do appreciate it. I just wanted a confirmation to that. And I know a guy up the street. He piddles a little bit. And like I said, I'll find something. I wouldn't mind putting me a bumper mount, big fishing pole on the back if I had a use for it, either for HF or whatever, 10 meter. I kind of like the way they look. Just Well, you can bend them over, can't you? And they still work. You can clip them to the gutter rail there.
No. That reminds me. How is HF going?
I have the Fallon up to a literally dizzying height of 18 feet right now. That's as far as I could get it up. And I've got one leg running off to just above the ground on one big part of the V, and the other one's running over kind of toward the fence, and I got a little stake down there, wooden stake, to tie it to. It receives pretty well. 40 meters, good. Actually get a little bit of 80. 20 is kind of still ain't getting 10 meters. I ain't heard nothing but hiss.
No. I've done a little bit of 10-meter stuff, but that's about all I ever get. And like I said, it's just frustrating as all get out. But every now and then you get something drop in, you know, but I'm not sure it's worth the wait.
And talking that, I got a friend of mine, he resurrected an old CB just to see if there was anything out there. And he said, I ain't heard squat, and he's right by the interstate. But I know them truckers is talking because when I was at my favorite parking spot, them cats would key, and I don't know what they were running, but, man, it was just like a noise blanker over everything when they keyed up. So, and they did it quite often, so that's, it got more frequent. So they're talking to somebody, and with high power, but my buddy, he said his used to be a good little radio. He ain't here to do squat.
Yeah, well, I think some of that may have moved to GMRS, you know, not to truckers. But I got a neighbor that does some GMRS stuff. There's quite a bit of activity, you know, from time to time. But, I mean, nothing like, you know, nothing like ham radio, but a lot more than CB.
I have a picture of them on a deal, the GMRS versions of the V5R. And if he's done nothing else, he'd give it to one to his brother, and they've been running around the neighborhood. They're covered under his license. But he's going to put up he's got a 440 antenna. He's going to try trimming on that a little bit, put it up. And he said there's a couple of repeaters around and a lot of club repeaters that you got to pay them a little extra, and they give you the high sign and the secret code or whatever to use theirs. And he's talked a little bit just with the 4 watts, 5 watts. But he said, I think he's trying to set up a neighborhood radio type thing, at least in family. All his family's within 2 to 5 miles, and he said, you know, it's just easier to just go, you know, holler at them that way than sometimes get them on the phone.
Yeah, that's happening quite a bit. There's a couple of churches that are doing that, and there's a community up the street that's, you know, they're trying to get a plan together.
Well, that's good to hear, because that's what they were talking down in Augusta a few months back. And, boy, I thought Augusta was gone. They couldn't get nobody to moderate their net. And then Shazam, the last couple of weeks, literally, they have just went, I mean, they're busy. And they come on right before y'all do at 8 every night. And that little junk of radio, the big orange here, I got into Augusta good last night. They said, you know, you got white noise, but we can understand you, and you sound all right. And they said, what you pushing? I said, 8.92 watts. And they went, you doing good, because that's about 80 miles to Trenton. Well, take it about 67 miles.
Okay. Well, tune on that antenna just a little bit. You probably get that extra watt or two. I don't think you're going to get the full 10 watts, but find out what your SWR is and probably get just a little bit more. But I heard you talking yesterday, testing the thing out. Just couldn't quite get to the radio in time. But the whole thing sounded pretty decent. Just a little bit of noise, but very copyable, very readable. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters, right?
That's right. But down here by my left foot is something I'm going to hook up to Gold Tri-Electric. And the garden, at least on the 2 meter side, I'll be talking with 4 in and 40 out, hopefully.
Those little things do pretty good. I had one in my go box and kind of failed on me a little bit, but you know, don't overdrive it. But they do really good for, you know, what they are, especially with the little handhelds.
Just need to come up with a better, they make them Beifang K-type hand mics. They got too much curly kink in them. They need to make them a little bit longer and with less kink in them so that you're not, you know, dangling a radio when you're trying to drive down the road.
But, I heard you talking last night, talking about your radio, when we were, you know, having a conversation, and you say you got it on Amazon, is that where you got it?
Yep, and now if I had it to do again, I would probably get the H6, or even the H7, and they are, TID radios, which I understand is like an upgraded Beifang. This is the one that you see from Aubrey or whatever. Best way to describe it is the speaker is on the top, keyboard's on the bottom. And one thing that I don't like about mine, I'm going to have to break it in like a brand new gun. It has got the stiffest PTT button spring I have ever seen in my life. You have to grasp the radio in your right hand and then push it with your middle finger. Otherwise, it's a two-hander to try to push that button in. That's just the way they're made. But like I said, I'd probably get the H6 because that will allow you to maintain it off of USB-C. Mine, like I was saying, had a USB, a micro USB, which, and that's worthless. So I think they just took it out because it was giving them problems.
Yeah, those micros, you got to be careful with those too, trying to get the port in. You bend a little pin and you're done. Ain't much you can do about it. Just be careful with it.
Roger that. Well, it's not there. So, and I'm trying to find a battery eliminator for it. UV5R is not going to fit it. It's an oddball little radio. It's orange, and that's one reason it was cheaper, too. I guess they thought maybe orange would be, you know, for hunters or whatever. They drop it down, you know, you can see it. Sometimes Amazon will do like that. They'll have something like a purple radio. You know, not everybody's fave, but, hey, it works. So I'm just disappointed my QYT took the dive like it did. But after getting on the QYT group, I found out that's the normal thing and that it's a radio that you're going to be fixing and sometimes improving, depending on what pieces and parts, who made them. And I might even learn how to solder on it. Who knows?
KO4NUE with KD4SRR. Well, you know, it is what it is. Just use them up, burn them up, move on to the next one. That's all you can do.
Whitey 7900s, they kind of got away from them, and they went to the 8900D, as in Delta. And those were limited. Well, they tried to come out with tri-bands. And then they finally just eliminated 220 off of them and went straight with that. Now, Radio Oddity sells the same radio as the DB25 or the QB25. And the only difference with them is they'll stand behind it a little better, but you're going to pay almost $40 more. So, you know, what the heck. Some people get them, and they last forever. They don't have no minute's trouble. And then I get one like mine, and, you know, that was either a Monday or a Friday radio.
Roger that. I understand. You know, people laugh about that, but they something to that.
Told me he was a Pontiac. He sold Fords first, and he was a Pontiac salesman. And Pete always told us he could look it up on the invoice when that car was made in Flint, Michigan, or Pontiac, Michigan. He said, "You don't want no Monday car. You don't want no Friday car." And my brother worked for a Mopar dealer, worked for Plymouth, and it could be any day of the week. Back when it's amazing, all them Chargers, all these people paying up to $2 million for them, he had them come in with no brakes, no dash, steering wheel, but no dash, and seats not bolted down, and that got exciting at the drag strip. And them things didn't even, if you got a Hemi, they didn't even come with a warranty, because they knew you were not going to the grocery store with it.
Yeah, well, I'm a engine builder. I got a machine shop down there I set up to build engines with, and I build engines for people or put them on YouTube so they can, you know, the ones that want them. And I've done a couple of Mopars and put them on a stand after I get them built, and I'll run them for about 10 hours before they go back to the customer and make sure ain't no issues. But I'm going to tell you, you can't beat that 440, but I'm going to tell you that's a hoss. They sound really nice, really nice. 383s, too. But those old ones like that, they got their own little personality.
My brother, they'd let the boys who bought them come by. It was Burnside's Dodge down there off of Gervais and Harden Street. And they had that big, it was about an 8-mile strip between them and, was it Hampton Street? I kind of try to remember. And they kind of used it like a little drag strip and test them. But they'd set the boys up on Saturday because they used to go to the Blaney drag strip, which is the other name for Earthquake Central right now. It was Elgin, after Elgin Watch Company came in, and even though they didn't leave, they left, rather. They kept the name for the town, but it was known as Blaney, so the Blaney drag strip. And they'd go out there and, heck, them boys would, you know, buy one, and they was expecting that if it lasted a year, it was something, but he'd set them up. And he actually had Kel Yarborough's car. Kel Yarborough bought it up from all the way over Timminsville, and a school teacher bought it. And it was just a 66 Belvedere, but it had the Hemi in it. And he said he'd take it up on 26, and he said with the telephone pole looked like a picket fence.
I see. Well, I do a bunch of the old stuff down there, stuff at the, production machine shops they don't want to handle, they don't want to mess with. Old flatheads. I like doing flatheads. And I got all the equipment to do it with. And just, I take my time. I don't get no hurry. I tell them when they come in the door, you know, I ain't getting in no hurry now. If you want it quick, you need to go somewhere else. Because, yeah, you mess up something on those old ones like that, you can't just go to LKQ and pick up another one. You got to take your time with it and be careful, because some of them you just can't replace anymore.
Pilot, but I didn't realize you were a classic engine rebuilder, and you're talking flatheads and stuff like that. My uncle, did he have the Marine flathead in an old Ford of his? Seemed like he did. Of course, he had to change the manifold, of course, and what else did he have to do to that thing? But he used to race at the original Columbia Speedway down in Columbia. He come in last, but every time, and and he was the same one as a car salesman. But he come in last, and he wound up with Bill France Sr., because he said, Pete, I'm going to make you the rule book guy, because you get the most unique view of the entire field. So you know what's going up ahead of you. And so he moved him down to Daytona right when they built the Speedway, and he stayed with NASCAR to about 66, and then Bill France Jr. took over, and he wanted an all-new crew. But, yeah, man, Pete had them Fords, and but he always come in last. But they sounded good.
Well, you get some spare time, go on up to old YouTube there, and type in my name, and I think the last one I did was for a person in Germany, a World War II Jeep, M38. So you just go to YouTube, type in M38, and type in my name, and I did a whole series on it. I, you know, may not be your cup of tea, but, you know, these older gentlemen, they like to be able to see what's going on with their engine. Most of them private videos, but most of them, you know, a couple of them let you release it out to the public or whatnot. But that's a good one to watch. You know, old World War II Jeep, M38.
So, you know, I don't know your last name. I apologize that. I should have looked you up, but I didn't. So I don't know your last name. Go ahead and give me the, how you look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, so just go to YouTube, type in Chad Hightower. That'll take you to my channel. Like I said, you'll see some private videos on there that's not released to the public. And some other videos on there of my son, back when he was younger, had some of his friends that wanted to build an engine in their truck. So I tried to teach them. They wanted to put it up on YouTube. They ended up breaking more stuff than you know, it was worth. But there's some videos up there with me and some of his friends trying to, you know, engine. But Chad Hightower, M38. And that'll take you right to it. And I think there's 13, 14 videos there, Robert. You know, start with part one or just pick up whatever you want to do. That's up to you, I guess. But they're pretty interesting.
Interesting. By the way, you ever related any Hightowers down in Columbia?
So here's my rule of thumb with people when people ask me that. If they're rich, no, we're not related. But if they are poor, yes, we're probably related.
There's up here down the road, and they got money, so no, I'm not. I wish I was. They seem like nice people, but mine's from over in, from Cool Branch, South Carolina, which is a suburb of Leeds, which is a suburb of Chester. And you don't get much poorer than that unless you live at Santuck, which is down the road a piece. S-A-N-T-U-C. And anyway, well, that's great news, man. I'll let the channel open here. I didn't mean to hold you up that long while you're tooling about. But see, that's great to meet people like yourself. You know, and then Gary, he was a truck driver, Winn-Dixie, and he's got some stories to tell about Joanna that I didn't know. And you know, just I find out stuff about this little crossroads that makes you wonder what the heck happened, although you kind of understand how it got there. Me, I don't have any talent. I played a little music, and I worked for banks and insurance companies. You know, the worst thing you get is insulted in a paper cut. But I've had to learn a few things, and my dad was sort of mechanical, but he wasn't real good at explaining. You just had to watch him. But that's cool information there, man, building engines and stuff like that. You'd really love it. I'm sure you already know a lot of folks down here in Lawrence County because they got them some unbelievable classic rides hid back in the garage or the barn, and they pull them out on Saturdays and Sundays. You're absolutely amazed by them.
KL4NUE with KD4SRR. So I do the older stuff. And I'll put them on a, I've got an engine stand on the ground that I'll start them up and run them, get all the bugs worked out, you know, make sure there's no oil leaks. You know, some of these people have $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 paint job. You know, you can't be pulling engines in and out because of some kind of problem. And there's always problems. So I start them up, run them, and, you know, get 10 hours on them. If there's not a problem by then probably not going to have a problem. But knock on wood, I hadn't had any of the older stuff come back on me. I quit doing dirt track racers. I just refuse to work on a dirt. I just will not build a dirt track car. I ain't going to do it. You know, like, just abuse it and bring it back in pieces and holes in the block, and I just, it just kills me. So that's one thing I don't build. But I do enjoy it.
You got a block and a half for me that does it for the down here, but he don't like none of them boys running up here at Lawrence. Most of them go down to MODOC, which I had not heard that name in years. But he'll take it out and nobody, that's a pretty good thing. What I was going to tell you about my brother, what was interesting about how times have changed when he was doing it down there at Burnside Dodge, that back road, it was about an eighth mile, it ran beside the Columbia Hospital, which is now part of Richland County Administration. The hospital never, ever complained. You know, they could be doing surgeries up there and nobody said a word. They just enjoyed it, for all I know, tolerated it at worst and enjoyed it at best.
Well, we got the Greer Dragway up here in Greer, and I don't know, 10 years ago or so back, the community just absolutely just raised Cain. So I think they just do it one night a week now. But had a guy from Germany was watching YouTube videos, and his name was Josef. I get all kind of emails, well, you know, some of them in different languages I can't understand, but anyway, he worked for the TÜV in Germany, which they do like DMV car inspections, you know. So he got his son to translate, and he wanted to come and apprentice with me for a week. And I'm thinking, I don't know who this guy is or whatnot. So we eventually worked something out. So before COVID, he comes once a year. He'll stay for, you know, 5 or 6 days, and we'll build an engine and shop together. I don't speak German. He don't speak English. But you'd be surprised what you can do when, you know, two people have got a common goal. But we really enjoy each other's company. So I think there might be a couple of videos of him in there, too. But check them out. Let me know.
Chad, I do appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking the time with me. Very kind, and for y'all to put up with my foolishness each and every night. I am humbled by the people that I meet, like yourself and Gary and all like that. But I will go, I'll go scrounge around in no hurry today. And I'll scrounge around and find some stuff. And like I said, you mentioned one final word on the HF. Right when I'm about ready to go, like, I don't like this stuff, then I am overwhelmed by, like, the contest last week where they're squawking and carrying on and ain't enough room for them all. So I just have to ask. Now, y'all could do this contest, but how come we don't hear you every day when the van's open? So And I say, well, I'll go ahead and I'll try to take that general again. You know, I'll rethink it. So I'll look at it a little bit, but hopefully before the end of the year, I'll at least get my general. I don't really see any need for an extra right now. And I apologize if I insulted you on the digital stuff, but after you have done it every day still doing it a little bit, you kind of go like, I just want to push anything computerized or interweb away and just do something more old-fashioned. So that's where I come from. Anyway, thanks so much. I appreciate it. I'm going to let you go, and hope I didn't hold you up none. I'll go check out all this stuff right now. Let you know. KO4NUE, KD4SRR, I'll be clear on your final.
Robert, be safe, bud. Have a wonderful day. And, enjoy talking to you as usual. KD4SRR, KO4NUE, I'm clear. Be safe, Robert.